felt it so bright. If you have never a Bible, felt it so bright.
Go ahead and turn to, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a couple minutes. And if you didn't bring a Bible, we have some in the back. You can walk back to our offering table in the back of the room and grab a Bible so you can follow along. I think today most of the scriptures will be on the screen so you can follow along there or on your Bible app on your phone or device. A couple things I wanted to say. We have been I've really been enjoying, Bonnie and I have been enjoying the text message updates that we have been sending out. And especially this last month, we've been doing a 4 weeks of prayer. And we had some prayer prompts throughout the month. If you would like to continue to get, if you're already getting those messages, we're going to use that to kind of communicate with folks. You know, we realize that a lot of people don't look at email anymore, and the reason is because, like Micah, who was up here a few minutes ago, Micah looked good though, didn't he? I mean, he looked kind of snazzy. He looked good and apparently knows Kevin from The Office, which is awesome, right? But Micah has like 40,000 unread emails on his account. I saw his phone the other day. So we realize that. So if you'd like to keep connected with us, just text TRC to 252-632-6650. We won't send a lot of stuff, but we'll keep you updated to what's going on in and around the church. And if you have already been getting them, you don't have to do anything. Just continue to receive those. And I also want to mention that we are going to, starting today, we're going to collect an Easter offering. And you can do that in a couple different ways. You can put the money in the box. Just let us know what it's for. Easter offering on a check, or you can go to our online giving. There is on our giving page. You go into the giving system, and there's a tab that says you want to give to the Easter offering or to the South City Christian Church. We took a trip with some folks about a month ago to serve on the Gulf Coast, and Lake Charles, Louisiana, had a really hard time. With two hurricanes last year. And so we kind of know what that feels like, having been through Florence. The difference is here, we didn't have any damage to our building. And so there in Lake Charles, the South City Christian Church, they did have quite a bit of damage to their building. They're still trying to recover. So I just thought during the month of April, why don't we take up an offering and send to them and just try to bless them, love on them a little bit. And if you'd like to participate in that, don't forget about, I love what Mike is doing with the fundraiser. So we're asking for a lot this month, but we know that God will work through that in any way that he can. And I know that you got your stimulus check. So... I want to talk a little bit about, you may see this in the parking lot. A few weeks ago, I was talking about things I liked, and people are just generous to me. If I talk about Oreos, people give me Oreos, but I was kind of joking about, you know, stop giving me goofy stuff like Oreos, you know, don't give me any socks or anything. And I said, if you want to give me something, give me a Cadillac. Well, I need to show you this because, don't you know, somebody was really generous to me, and you're going to see this probably in the parking lot. Here's my new Cadillac that I was given. I have another picture of it, a little different view of it. Somebody literally gave me that Cadillac that I can't even get a big toe in, which is just messed up. And then it got vanity plates on it. You know what I mean by vanity plates? Otis won on a, if you know, you know. So for the last few weeks, we have been working our way through 1 John, and it's been a great study, and we're going to continue that. Hope you'll come back and study with us and worship with us every week. It's a letter. 1 John is a letter from the Apostle John. John was the longest lived. Of all the apostles, he lived the longest, and he became kind of the elder statesman of the apostles and of the early church. And so he wrote a letter, maybe to a specific church, but we know that it got passed around to several churches and even passed on to us today. And today I wanted to start at the end of what I want us to know from the passage that we're going to be in. And then we're going to go back to the beginning, and then we'll end kind of in the same place. But maybe this week you have been following along with us through the life of Jesus, the Passion Week, through our text message updates. And let me just walk you through the last week. Last Sunday on the Christian calendar is called Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday that we celebrate Jesus entering Jerusalem as sort of a conquering king. The people of the city, there was such a hubbub, they threw down palm branches before Jesus as he came in on a new colt and it was an honor bestowed only on royalty, on on conquering kings who were coming back from battle. And so Jesus was lauded in that way. And then Monday, Jesus still in Jerusalem for the Passover. It was Monday that Jesus went to the temple and cleansed the temple. He threw out the crooked moneylenders who were taking advantage of people and making, as he said, the Lord's house or the temple a house of thieves. And it was on Wednesday that Jesus rested and he spent time with his friends in Bethany, which wasn't too far from Jerusalem. On Thursday, Jesus took that day to teach and really rebuke some of the religious leaders. And on Friday, or it was on Thursday that Jesus had the Passover with the disciples. That's where we get the Last Supper. And then Friday, after that night of trials, Jesus was beaten and nailed to a cross and died. And Saturday, God was silent. Jesus was in the grave. But today we celebrate Easter. Easter is the celebration of Jesus coming back from the dead, the resurrection, as we call it. It was that Sunday morning early when Jesus' friends, first Mary Magdalene, went to Jesus' tomb, found that he wasn't there, ran back and told the other apostles, disciples, and Peter, James, and John ran to the tomb and they found that he was gone. Jesus rose from the dead. You know, a lot of people throughout history have made big sacrifices. Some have even made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, Christianity isn't the only religion that has a martyr. But Jesus, he's the only one who came back from the grave. Right? He's the only one who conquered death. And I don't know where you are today with the resurrection. It's a big ask, right, for us to think about that someone could raise from the dead. And I'm not here to convince you one way or the other. I hope that maybe we'll give you some reasons to believe. Tim Keller said this. He said, if you can't believe in the resurrection, you should want it to be true. Why? Because in the resurrection, there's hope. And there's something beyond this world, right? There's more than just living and going to work and every day earn a living or taking care of your family, which are all good things. But at the end of this life, there's more than just the here and now. There's something else beyond this life. And the resurrection gives us hope. Hope for those who have passed before us that we might see them again. Hope for a place in eternity next to Christ in the place that he went to prepare. So Jesus raised from the dead. That's why we're here today. That's why each week we get together and we celebrate kind of the resurrection every Lord's Day here at Two Rivers. But that's not the end of the story. After he came back from the dead, he appeared to the apostles and to others. And just like he said he would, eventually he left and ascended back to heaven. In John chapter 14, Jesus tells his friends, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If I wouldn't tell you if I didn't go there to prepare a place for you. And so Jesus told them he was going to go. He's going to leave them. And he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be their comforter, their guide. And he eventually would leave. And so just before he ascended, Jesus said these words to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus leaves these friends, these confidants, these disciples, later become the apostles, but he leaves them with a mandate. Go and make disciples. It's not over. I've got a job for you to do. Now, we're going to get back to this in just a few minutes, but for now, let's go back to the beginning and look at 1 John chapter 3. If you have your Bible open there, we're going to start in verse 11. Today, what I want us to think about is this, that love is the beginning. Let's pick it up in verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, John writes. We should love one another. So John begins this part of the letter by bringing us back to the beginning. And at the beginning, we find love is the mandate. right? Not the beginning of time necessarily, not the beginning of the Bible, but back to the story of Jesus and why he came to the earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus, when he was with those disciples, who John was one of, gave them this commandment in John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, the narrative of Jesus' life. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." So in John's letter, he's referencing, hey, this is where it kind of all begins. Let's go back to the beginning. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. And as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus said these words to his friends. This was during the Last Supper. This was on that Thursday before the crucifixion. Just before he endured the cross, he solidified his mission by encouraging his disciples to love. Specifically, love one another. Jesus says, John says, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. It's a message of love. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples. So I want you to think about this today. Today is the greatest Christian holiday. And Jesus is saying to us as Christians here today, you're going to be known by the world not because you're louder than everybody else, not because you're smarter and post funnier memes about other religions than everyone else, not because we are holier than others, but only if we learn to love one another. That's the distinguishing mark. That's the thing that should set us apart from others, the way that we love people. Let's keep reading. John makes a contrast. He goes from one extreme kind of to the other here. 1 John chapter 3, pick it up in verse 12. It says, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." So right in the middle of this beautiful passage about loving one another, John gets a little dark, right? He goes kind of right back to the very basics. Like, he reminds us of the alternative to love. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? They were the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain killed his brother Abel because of jealousy and anger. So what John's saying is that Cain is a good example of the failure to love, right? Without love, the end result could look something like this, or at its extreme, here we see murder. Now, we can presume that Cain had a godly upbringing, that Adam and Eve, his parents, who walked with God in the garden, who knew God intimately in a way that most humans never will till we get to the other side of eternity or into eternity. So we assume he had a godly upbringing that should have equipped him to love, but he chose not to love. He chose the opposite. And his disobedience came from a lack of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's the great faith hall of fame. Abel is commended for his faith, which leads us to believe that Cain's fault was the lack of faith. God said, do this. Cain didn't. Abel did. So it was a lack of faith. Cain's disobedience and hatred was based in his own pride. The Bible says that God accepted Abel's offering, but rejected Cain and his offering. And Cain couldn't figure out why. I'm just as good as him. What I brought is as good, as, if not better, but he missed the point. He didn't do specifically what God said him to do, and that led to pride and jealousy and anger. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain's disobedience and hatred just ate him up. It made him miserable. And he refused the warning that God gave him and gave in to the sin and hatred. Cain's sin and hatred led to this action against the one he hated. He killed his own brother. So why does John focus on such a negative example? Because the opposite of love is where Cain found himself: prideful, angry, and it led to sin. And it's such a vast distance between the two, but it perfectly sort of shows how intense. Sometimes we say, oh yeah, love one another. But what John's saying is, in the same way that this is a terrible result of hatred and jealousy, right? This brother who kills his own brother, the other extreme is that great, loving your neighbor, right? And loving one another. It should be that vastly different. John says, be aware, don't end up like Cain. Instead, love like Jesus. Look at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We're going to unpack that a little bit more next week. So I want you to come back and continue in this study. So if Cain is the example of what we do not do, of what not to do, then Jesus is the example of what we should do. Loving each other, right, with a sacrificial love. This morning, I want to give us three quick things to remember that will help us live out who God is calling us to be in this world. Like, this world is full of a lot of different messages. This world is full of a lot of different paths that we could take. I want you to know, and I want you to go home with these three quick things. First, John says, love is the answer. Look at verse 11. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. If there's any question in your mind, what will change your life, the life of the people around you, this world, it's the answer is love, right? From the very beginning, love has been the answer. Jesus made it our mandate. Back to John chapter 13, a new command I give you, Jesus told them. Love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. This is how everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. I've always thought it was interesting that Jesus told his disciples, here's a new command. Think about this. Here are these men who grew up in the Jewish faith. They have studied the Old Testament. They knew the Torah. They knew the law. They understood the stories about Abraham and Moses. These grown men, Jesus had to say, hey, let's try something new. Love one another. But love wasn't so much a new command as much as it was a new level or example of love. Jesus is actually saying there's a new standard by which we measure love, and here it is. The same way that I love you, you ought to love one another. This is just after, at the Last Supper, Jesus had washed the feet of his friends. Right? He had exemplified service and love, sacrifice. And it's just before, like, don't you think this was embedded in their minds just after washing their feet and just before he went to the cross at Calvary. See, the old standard is gone. Whatever you thought love used to be, just forget that. That goes out the window. Here's the new standard. Love like Jesus. By this, he says, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, love is so countercultural, it will be the distinguishing mark on us as Christians. It will be the thing that people see in us that will tell them that we are Christians in this world. Like, before our twins were born, we have 17-year-old twin girls. But before our girls were born, while they were still in the womb, we knew we were having twins. I was nervous that I wouldn't know them apart. Like, I kind of got hung up on that. I was like, what are we going to do? Like, I don't want to be a bad dad and, like, look at one and call her the wrong name. You know, like, they grow up with some identity crisis. Like, I was just, like, kind of weird. You know, new dads are kind of weird that way. They come up with goofy stuff. So I came up with several things that I thought we could do. I said, we could have one of them wear a certain color only. Like, somebody is yellow and somebody is pink. When you take off, right, the pink, you put something pink back on. Don't ever get them messed up. And Bonnie said, well, what about if they get in the tub? I'm like, you're messing with me. You're like, you're just messing with me now. So I said, okay, how about this? We'll tie a string, like a thread around one of them, right? That'll be one or the other. That way we know which one is which. Or we'll only use certain, pacifier or bottles with one or the other. And so I had all these things. But you know what happened? As soon as I saw them, it was obvious. Now, our girls are not identical twins, but they look enough like each other, and they are sisters that they do get confused by other people, but not by me, ever. Like, from the first moment I saw them, they were just different. I understood who was who. And that's the way it should be for us as Christians in this world. It should be obvious. We're different. And the thing that should set us apart is four letters, love. Right? That's the thing that when people see us, it should be obvious. And that brings us to the second thing I want us to remember. Right? Love is the answer, and hate is the enemy. Verse 12 says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because of his own actions. Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. See, hate is the exact opposite of love. And it leads to the worst in people. So John uses an extreme example to show that contrast between love and hate. And that tells us specifically, right, without any question, who we're supposed to be and what we should avoid. Love is the answer. Hate is the enemy. Okay. So just don't murder anyone. Can we handle that? Right? Don't kill anybody. I can probably avoid that in most circumstances, but Jesus puts a little finer point on it. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Like Jesus just has a way of sort of amping things up, right? Taking it to the next level. He says, okay, the Old Testament law says don't murder someone. That's part of the Ten Commandments, don't murder. But I'm going to take it a little further. Don't even hate someone. It's as if you've already murdered them. Then he says, anyone who says to his brother or sister, raka. Now, that's an Aramaic word, and it means to call someone empty-headed, right? Now, at our house, the S word has always been stupid. Like, since the girls were toddlers, we're not allowed to call someone stupid. And I still get in trouble for calling our dog Otis stupid. I'm like, he's a dog, and he is. No, that's the S word. So At our house, you're not supposed to call someone. You remember Fred Sanford? I used to love watching Sanford and Son. Am I too old? Like, do you guys remember this? Chris, you remember Sanford and Son? Bum, 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 bum. Remember that? The big truck coming down with all kinds of stuff. Like, I love when he would insult people. Like, that's probably a bad thing for me to say out loud, but you big dummy. You know, you remember that? He called his son Lamont a big dummy all the time, and his aunt, whoever that was, or whatever his friend was. But it's funny, but it's Esther. Thank you. It's funny, but that's headed down the wrong path, according to Jesus. Don't even get irate. Don't call someone empty-headed. Don't lose control of yourself. See, we get so used to getting angry and calling people names that we're sort of desensitized to what Jesus is saying. Be kind. Don't hate. Love one another. And we don't have to go too far to know what to do. Verse 16 tells us Jesus is the example. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I mean, shouldn't we, if we're serious about being Christians, shouldn't our ultimate example be that of Christ's sacrificial love? Right? Agape love. Love has always been the answer. Hate is the enemy, and Jesus is the example. Here we go full circle. And if we're to follow that example, right? Think about this. Jesus went to the cross because of love, because God loved the world. Jesus came to love the world, and Jesus rose from the dead to expose the power of love. There's power in loving each other the way Jesus loved us. 10 years ago on Easter Sunday, I wore this exact shirt. Does anybody remember? John remembers. You got a good memory. I know what you're thinking. How in the world does he remember that? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I remember because it was in 2011 that we moved my parents from the Outer Banks here to New Bern. My mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and her care was becoming more and more difficult for my dad. And so we wanted to get them closer to us, and they moved into a little apartment around the corner from us. And it was maybe that week we had moved them. I don't remember exactly, but it was really close to when they had moved. It was Easter. And it was only a month after Easter in 2011 that my mom ended up in the hospital and then in a nursing home, and her health. It wasn't long after she got a nursing home, she really didn't get out of bed, and it wasn't long after that she stopped talking, and that's just sort of the progression of Alzheimer's. And eventually she spent 5 years in the nursing home, passed away in 2016. So in 2011, you know, I just remember some things about that because there was a lot going on in our lives, in my life personally. But that Easter Sunday is one of the last good days we had with my mom and dad before all of that kind of played out in the next month, in the next few years. We had them over for lunch. We went to church together here, and mom and dad came over for lunch that afternoon. We ate outside. We sprayed off the pollen from the outdoor furniture and sat outside, and I remember at some point that day, I think it was at lunch, my mom looked at me, and we didn't have too many of these kinds of conversations where it was like a plain, you know, conversation with somebody that you've known your whole life, like your mom. A lot of those conversations at that time in her life kind of didn't make a lot of sense, just the disease that she had. But I remember that day, she looked at me and she said, "I like that shirt. Looks good on you." So I remember wearing this shirt 10 years ago because it's one of the last things I remember her saying to me. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he told his friends, "Love one another." And just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he said, "Go and make disciples." In the same way that I've loved you, love others. See, those were some of Jesus' last words to us. And you know what? They're words that we should remember. They're words that should be burned into not only our hearts and our minds, but into our spirit and souls. So that we can live out this mandate that he has for us. Love. That's the answer. I don't know who's here and maybe is being called in this moment to live more like Jesus, to love more. Maybe there's someone here who's being called right now in this moment to say, "I want that for my life. I want to live more like Jesus. I want to love more like Jesus. I want Jesus as the great example that our children's Emily's gave us this morning. I want Jesus to take care of the problem I have in my life, which is sin that separates me from God." You know what? It's fairly simple. God doesn't make it like you got to, you know, learn another language or learn how to fly an airplane or, you know, it's like there's not a lot of big hoops you have to jump through. People who came to Christ, who became Christians throughout the Bible, who during the church age, they simply came to Christ in faith, believing and trusting in him. They repented of their sins, which means they changed some of their bad habits that were leading them away from God. They turned to God. And as we saw earlier today, Joey D., they were simply baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You know what would make this Easter the best Easter ever for you? If you made that decision to put Jesus first in your life and to be baptized into Christ. And then we can all go forward to do what Jesus said, the last thing he said, love each other and go make disciples. What Jesus was saying when he said, "Go make disciples," was simply, I want you to love people the way I've loved them. I want you to be involved with people the way I was involved. I want you to sacrifice. I want you to have people follow you and your example as you follow my example. Josh is going to come and lead us into a time of communion. If you have a decision to make, I'm going to be, you know, kind of in the back and in the foyer. I'd love to talk to you about that after service. If not today, send me an email, david@tworiverschurch.com. Call me. We'll get together. We'll talk about this. There's no better, greater, more powerful decision you'll make in your life than to follow Jesus. Let's remember that love is the answer. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for today. Thank you for how you've loved us. Thank you for your word that teaches us. And Lord, I thank you for this beautiful letter from John to the churches, Lord, that we're reading here today. Lord, one that reminds us that in a world that is confusing and full of so many different messages and angles and everybody's looking to get ahead, Lord, love is the answer. And Jesus is our example. So Lord, I just pray for each family and pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we know that some families here are struggling. Some families have been through difficult times. Some families are maybe just getting out and about after a year of quarantining themselves because of this virus. And Lord, I just thank you for everyone who's here today and watching online. And I want everyone to know and feel the power of your love in their lives. And God, I'm just so thankful that you sent Jesus. And that the power of his sacrifice was made clear in the power of the resurrection. Because Lord, we believe that if you can bring Jesus back from the dead physically, you can bring us back from the dead spiritually. So God, we thank you for that. Help us to live our lives just simply as Jesus has commanded us, loving one another. Help our lives to reflect your love for us and Christ's love for us. And let him be our example. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I felt it so bright. If you have a Bible,